When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hi, this is Imran Ahmed, founder and CEO of The Business of Fashion. Welcome to the BOF podcast. It's Friday, July 21st. Lately, I've been talking to a lot of industry leaders about the demise of brand marketing in fashion and beauty. Indeed, our industry has become so reliant on performance marketing that our brand marketing muscle has atrophied. But what does really good brand marketing look like? We all know it when we feel it or experience it when a brand engages us or moves us by creating a product or experience that is exceptional. This is even harder to do when there are so many brands fighting for attention using the same formulaic approaches. On this week's episode of the BOF podcast from the Business of Beauty Global Forum 2023, I speak to Isamaya French, founder and creative director of her namesake makeup brand, and Marty Bell, the co-founder of Vacation, the ironic 80s-inspired sunscreen brand, about how they have leaned into brand marketing to build exciting beauty brands in a crowded marketplace.
If you're strong enough to have a vision and get a brand off the ground, you know what your audience wants, and be communicative and do the things that feel natural and right, because it's when you start doing the things that the CMO tells you you have to do and you're feeling awkward about it, no one's gonna believe you, no one's gonna want your product.
I think some of the best brands in their early stages are just true personifications of their founders. That's very hard to compete with if you don't have someone that has a view on the world and a perspective.
Here are Isamaya French and Marty Bell on the BOF podcast.
So people are really looking forward to this conversation because somehow the two of you have created brands that feel really unique and different. And I think we have to start with the origin stories. You both have such interesting stories of how you got here, sitting on this stage, talking about brand building in the beauty industry. Marty, you and I met virtually during the pandemic. I think someone from your team and I connected on Instagram. And I remember that first conversation we had. And I was kind of blown away by it, partly because this was all happening in the middle of the pandemic, and you and your co-founders were kind of spread all over the world, and partly because you managed to create something so unique and that had a little bit of nostalgia for me. Tell me about your founding story.
Sure. So the credit on the product level on the sunscreen, the credit for that goes to my co-founders, Lack and Dakota. They did a bunch of traveling, and I think they knew they wanted to start a business and a brand. They didn't quite know what it was, and they found themselves on the beach in Mexico. And they were looking around and realizing that in this incredibly indulgent moment in the sun on the beach, everybody was so inconvenienced by this moment of having to like take out sunscreen, put it on. It was a real chore, and it broke that moment of indulging in the sun. And they realized that there was a massive opportunity there to add to that indulgent experience and improve upon it, as opposed to making it something that is the opposite of that, which is a chore to put on. So the sunscreen side, that's where that originated. And while they were realizing that separately without knowing them, I was building a music platform called Poolside FM. It's now called Pool Suite.
Has anyone heard Poolside FM? Raise your hands. Okay. You have to listen to it. Actually, we're going to listen to some of it tonight.
We are.
At the party.
We are. So I was building this kind of ridiculous music website where I was pairing clips I'd cut out of 80s beach movies on VHS with like super summery music. I didn't really know what I was doing with it. It wasn't a business. I was just playing around on the internet. And about 1 million people per year were coming to that website.
How did those 1 million people come to Pool Suite?
Zero marketing budget, no marketing, just creating this super nostalgic experience of two things that were really uplifting, which was like these ridiculous scenes from these movies, and music curated to make you feel good. And that combination just sparked something, and the site was viral from day one.
Could that have happened if we weren't all locked up at
home? It was before then. It was in 2014 when I launched the site, but the growth massively spiked during the pandemic. Yeah, when people needed a vacation, but they couldn't get one, they tuned into Pool Suite FM. So I was building that. I had this large community that I didn't really know what to do with, and I bumped into Lack and Dakota virtually when they were doing an early test of the packaging for vacation, and we decided this would be much more powerful if we came together and we used the Pool Suite wild 80s world that I'd put together to launch this sunscreen brand to hit the ground running from day one with a large audience who love 80s aesthetics. So we came together and we launched it in the summer of 21.
Okay. Ismaya has her own founding story. I will say that when we put some of these images up on the BOF Instagram account recently, we said vaginas yesterday, so I can say penis today, right? Of penis-shaped packaging, like the engagement level on that post was off the charts for us. How did you get from a position of being a makeup artist in the industry to someone who is creating her own brand with penis-shaped packaging?
Very good question. I thought I'd whip it out from between my legs for you all today as well. Based on no one specific, you know, just saying. I don't have a traditional makeup background. Like, I didn't train professionally as a makeup artist. My background was in theater. I studied product design at Central St. Martin's, and I was very focused on the theater world and performing arts. And I did this St. Martin's degree because I felt like I loved the art world, but I didn't really know what my place in it was. And I sort of fell into makeup quite accidentally. I was a kid's face painter, embarrassingly.
Kid's face painter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's sort of how I got into makeup, actually. I was trying to hustle a side job, and I'm a morning person, and I didn't want to have a bar job, and I got into kids' face painting. And I remember the first shoot I ever did for ID magazine, thinking, oh, my God, I can actually do this on adults, and I can get paid for it. This is crazy. So that was kind of my foray into makeup. So I think those kind of formative experiences of not having a huge background in traditional cosmetics has allowed me to have a lot of fun with what I do. And I don't take myself or what I do hugely seriously because I come from a very different background. So I suppose that's the origin of that. It's from a place of wanting to just have fun with the platform or the creative process I'm engaging with.
And what's amazing about both of your brands is that in a short space of time, they've really already carved out such a unique identity. We were in LA just before we came here, and I was in Erewhon walking down the aisles, and I was in shopping malls and Nordstrom, and like just America has, I mean, whenever I come here from Europe, I'm always like blown away by just a number of products, the amount of selection that you have. But it was also dawning on me, just there's so many beauty brands. There's so many products. Yeah. And if I'm honest, like, a lot of it kind of looks the same. We were talking about formulaic approaches before. There's kind of this formula of, like, even we were walking down Abbot Kinney in LA, and for those of you who haven't been to that part of Venice Beach, it's just like there's almost like a formula of what a DTC brand looks like. You can tell they've all been designed by the same agencies and stuff. But what you've both managed to do is create something that isn't boring, that is really unique. When you're looking in the marketplace, what do you think makes a strong brand?
I think some of the best brands in their early stages, some of my favorite brands in the world, are just true personifications of their founders. And I think that's very true for both of us, in that this is us just putting our heart and soul on the things that we love and the visuals and the world that we love personally. It's putting that out there through a brand and through these products. And I think that's very hard to compete with if you don't have someone that has a view on the world and a perspective and a deep love for a set of visuals. I think that's really hard to compete with.
So when it came to, and maybe this was with your co-founders before you started, like, you didn't go to an agency. Like, how did the vacation identity emerge?
Well, funny story is the logo that you see on the packaging, they came up with that before I met them, and they went to a designer and said, we want to rip off the Poolside FM logo, which was my project at the time. They were like, we love this. We want to basically copy that without making it so that he'll know that we've copied it. So that's where that logo came from. And so the Pool Suite logo was just me finding someone to do like a super 80s script font, because I've been in love with that style for like 10 years.
Ismea, and by the way, a brand is more than a logo, right? It's more than identity. As you are developing the identity for your brand, how did you create something that's so distinctive, that stands out?
I think, you know, I'm very fortunate that before establishing my brand, I really had the pleasure of working for a number of different brands. I was at Tom Ford, I worked for Byredo, for Burberry, and I think maybe less so the kind of independently owned brands who are really kind of doing their own things, like Byredo, for example. You know, it really struck me that, like Marty said, you know, these big corporations, there's nobody guiding the spirit of the brand, you know, and I think that's where you run into problems, where you don't have like a spirit guiding it, really. You know, you're number crunching and you're looking at data in order to kind of, or numbers or whatever, to generate ideas of how to communicate with an audience. And it leaves everything feeling very kind of flat, I think. And so when you just mentioned everything looked the same, I think beauty, you know, as we all know, is one of the leading economies that kind of missed the recession. If anything, it profited in some of those periods. And I think more recently, in the last kind of 5 years especially, people have really wanted to jump on that bandwagon. You know, you can make a quick buck in beauty. You know, in doing that, trying to make those huge profit margins, you lose the essence. You lose the integrity and the artistry, because that takes time and money and a spirit. And so for me, having worked for a number of these brands and working in the industry for a long time, perhaps one of my biggest flaws is that I'm not driven by numbers. I'm just driven by the spirit. And I felt like, whatever, I want to do that for my brand. I want to have something that feels exciting and new and captures all of those things that these kind of big organizations can't.
We'll be right back with more on the BOF podcast.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? For me, I got a chef-grade range recently, and now I'm cooking new things every single night. Seriously, no cuisine is off limits. The point is, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. I can picture myself with a car full of groceries, cruising down the highway, soaking up the sun with the available dynamic sky panorama glass roof. Ugh, pure bliss. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
In a way, in the founder-led approach that you're both talking about, you're creating worlds. You're world building. You're creating a universe that someone can imagine themselves being a part of. And so when I talk about going to, you know, a drugstore or an Erewhon or any other retail environment, I see a bunch of packaging. One of the questions I'm asking is this my entry point into a world? Can you talk about the worlds that you're both building around your brands? Isamaya, maybe you can go first.
You know, when I started my brand, it's actually very difficult for me to think of a defining look. You know, if my brand's going to be on the shelf for like 10 years, what's that going to look like? Well, listen, I change month to month, and I have the luxury of working in fashion, which also changes seasonally. And it just didn't make sense for me to do something that would possibly in 10 years feel very dated. Especially if I'm going to be behind it and still believing in this thing. It had to kind of reflect who I was and where I am. So I decided to create, I suppose, a bit like a fashion model where the brand would change seasonally. And we started with a BDSM-inspired collection with rubber and latex and piercings. And then the second collection was kind of cowboy-inspired. So it was gaudy and gold and vintage looking, and then we hit this guy, which again is a whole other world, you know, and it's very graphic and it's sort of quite extreme and has a sense of humor. And so for me, it just meant that I was able to really engage and be excited by everything that I was doing, and I think that translates, and I think people can feel that and want to be part of that exciting moment.
I mean, in a way, it's breaking a branding rule, which is like you create a brand and it has to be consistent and it has to always follow like a framework and you have branding guidelines. What you're basically doing is bringing an editorial approach and saying, okay, this season or this product line or this drop is about this.
Well, it's been nice because I think it's also allowed me to connect with lots of different audiences. And, you know, some people don't respond to this,
but most do. especially the grandmas out there, you'd be surprised. The over 70s seem to do very well with that. And some people maybe didn't love the BDSM vibe, but then they love the cowgirl, glamorous, glitzy. So for me, it's fun because I then get to engage with lots of different audiences. And I think people are starting to understand that you can dip into lots of different styles and you can have these different identities and explore, and like you would with clothes, you know.
Yeah. Marty, the world that you're building, I'd say it's a more consistent world, but what I think I felt that's so resonant with vacation is it takes me back. So talk to me about the role nostalgia plays in your world building, but also how you translate that. I'm a child of the 80s, right? So of course that's going to resonate with me, right? Because all of those images and the grainy vibe of everything, that's kind of what I grew up with. How do you make that interesting and exciting to a new generation of customers?
I think our job is to make leisure-enhancing sunscreen. That's our whole thing, is if we make it improve that indulgent moment in the sun, we think like every single touch point of the brand has to make people happier. And so if we're going to put an ad out there on Instagram, it has to like be enjoyable or entertaining in some way. If people are going to go to our website, there has to be little gimmicks and things. Like you go in our store and you can buy a hovercraft or a fondue set or all these little silly things from the 80s that add and like extend the brand world. And I guess the role of nostalgia is, I think people in the current age where I go on Twitter and all I get served are threads about AI, ChatGPT, and it's so hard to keep up with, and I feel people are just craving a simpler time. So taking people back to the 80s, which I'm sure it wasn't a simpler time, I wasn't alive then, but I'm sure it was equally chaotic. I'm sure it was equally chaotic back then, but when people think back, I think they see it with this warm glow.
So chaotic. I think that's what I like about it, is that I was having this conversation with some people over dinner the other night. Even if you watch films or TV shows from that time, everything just moves at a pace that's so much more gentle. Mm-hmm. It's not about having like a number of jolts per minute. Yeah, leisurely. So in a way, it's like an escape from this like onslaught of imagery and information and just that constant barrage of stuff that you just... It feels like I'm stepping into like pleasure and...
Yeah, and that's what we want our job to be at. Every single touch point, we want it to be leisurely. In world building, I think it's important to hit every single touch point you possibly can with the brand that you're serving to people, whether that's the invoice that you receive when you order from vacation. It's on dot matrix printer paper from the 80s. So we managed to convince our fulfillment center to put in one of these old dot matrix printers. At the start, they were like, okay, it's just one. Yes, we'll accommodate it. Now there's something like, and I forget if it's 12 or 20 of these old dot matrix printers running in the fulfillment center. They emailed us last week asking if we'll pay for a glass enclosure to put them in, because the noise of these printers from the 80s is so loud that it's putting off the staff. And we've had to like stockpile all the old toner cartridges from the 80s, because if that goes out, we can't do it anymore. And so like that level of detail in building the world is where we get excited. And it's only because of the true passion of us as the founders that we're willing to go to those lengths. And I think that's the kind of thing that's hard to compete
with. I remember
when
I got my vacation delivery at home and it came with the two things down the side. You know what it did for me? It reminded me of it. I'd forgotten about that.
The little dots of like punch dots.
I'd completely forgotten that was the way it was. And so it reminded me of something too, and it was just, there was this like really nice feeling of like, wow.
Yeah, and that's nostalgia, like the power of nostalgia of bringing people back to that simpler time across all these different touch points. It's just, I found it to be really powerful.
Yeah.
And it's why you said, why were a million people coming to the Poolsuite FM website? It feels connected, that it was an escape.
Yeah.
An escape online, and we try and make everything we do some form of escape.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about how you work with some of the fixtures that are part of marketing today. Influencers, for example. I mean, we could argue that you are of yourself. Like, I know that word comes as loaded, but you're a key opinion leader. People look to you, and your brand embodies who you are and what you're interested in. Do you still work with influencers and other communication vehicles? And how do you keep that same sense of authenticity if you're working with third parties?
Yeah. Yeah, we have to. And obviously, you know, the community is kind of one of the core parts of the brand. And it's about making your humans, I learned that yesterday, I'm not going to call them consumers anymore.
Yeah.
Your community, your humans, to feel included, I think. And so one of the really nice things has been, because the model has been this kind of drop model of different styles, being able to bring in people to my platforms that, you know, might not have been able to find their voice in beauty before. People that have engaged with this kind of like BDSM, sexy, punky, gothy vibe, you know, that didn't find their space in a very kind of commercial, glamorous, glossy world. So to be able to give them a space and a legitimate space on the platform and to showcase their work, and then the same for other creators and even guys that have really enjoyed using this product. It's not just for women, we also do a lip balm. That's been really nice for me because the beauty world is so big. And I think for a lot of people, it can be really hard to feel legitimate within it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
before we go, I'd love to have from each of you one piece of advice for everyone here who's trying to build authenticity into their branding, like where the brand feels as strong and as clear and as unique as what both of you have built. Marty, why don't you go first?
I think either find something that you personally, like a visual aesthetic and style and product range that you are personally obsessed with, or find someone who is obsessed with a given world or visual style and put them in place to build it. If you're not deeply passionate about the world that you're going to build, you need to find someone who can be.
Obsessive. Okay. Ismaya?
What I've learned from building this brand is that it isn't always the corporate jargon that drives people towards your brand. You know, it isn't hitting those kind of, the CMO will have an opinion and it'll sound very boring. It'll be about user engagement and all this, that and the other. Just, sorry. True. Sorry, is that offensive?
No, it's so honest because we have to tell the backstory of this, because when we were doing the prep, Ismaya came and she had a bunch of talking points.
I've got them. Come on, let me read some out to you. They're hideous. No, I'm joking. My very, very lovely CMO, he gave me some pointers, you know, to bring up. And there were things like, encourage UGC to drive consumer engagement and create whatever. disruptive creative vision that's developed with a social media approach for, do you know what I mean?
Not really.
No, it's true. But just do what feels right, you know, do what feels right. If you're strong enough to have a vision and get a brand off the ground, you know what your audience wants, and be communicative and do the things that feel natural and right, because it's when you start doing the things that the CMO tells you have to do and you're feeling awkward about it, no one's going to believe you. No one's going to want your product because it doesn't look authentic.
Yeah.
So I think it's really about taking things with a pinch of salt, but following your gut and your spirit and doing what feels right for you and your brand. And I love my CMO, and he won't mind me doing that whole little spiel thing, but yeah.
Well, that was amazing. Thank you both very much.
The BOF podcast is edited and produced by Emma Clark and Eric Bria in the BOF studio team.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.